has been a journey, hasn't it? And God has been faithful through it all. And we are so privileged to come be your next senior pastors here at New Life Church. We are privileged and honored and most of all humbled by what the Lord has bestowed upon us as coming in with this servant leadership mentality. And that's really what it comes down to, is we want to do life with you as servants in the house of the Lord. And that's the best way to be, isn't it? So thank you, New Life, so much for that. I also want to say thank you so much for everyone's prayers and encouragement during this last season of the transitions that have been going on. And a huge thank you to everyone who helped during this time. So those who drove up during some of the coldest weather we've had in Arkansas for years. And I know how to pick them, right, guys? It was like 12 degrees when we were loading the U-Haul. So they kept smiles on their faces. Maybe they were frozen on from it being cold, but they were there and we had a great time. Some guys from the church up there came and helped as well. And it was a beautiful time of just build community happening from two different churches, just blessing our souls and blessing those around us. And then I just have to brag on you guys. Then when we moved into our house in Crum, thank you for all the prayers for the transition within that, we were able to close on both properties the same day and move right into a home in Crum, Texas. So thank you so much for that. And when you guys showed up, it wasn't just one or two people. There was a plethora. There's a word for the day. A plethora of people there helping unload and just having a great time laughing. And there was joy, not just in the house of the Lord, but in my house as well. And that was beautiful. And this is why I want to take a moment for that. Is that it was beautiful and powerful because those in our new community, our neighbors, saw it. And there were individuals that came and were like, what's going on? And people were like, oh, our new pastor's moving in. One individual actually invited one of my neighbors to come to church. He's like, is that a cult? He's like, no, it's not a cult. But we'd love to have you come experience life at New Life. This last week when I was having some things put into my house from different people, they were like, hey, so your email is pastorverge@gmail.com. Are you a pastor? Yeah. Well, I've got a few questions for you. Well, bring them on. I spent about an hour speaking with a guy just about spiritual things that was installing our security system. It's like, hey, you're a pastor. Can you take some time? Yeah, I can. This is what I love doing. So just us coming before even preaching my first message here, we've already been starting to speak the love and grace of God to those around us. So way to go, New Life Church. So as I've been praying since November when we had the confirmation vote to come be your new pastors in this role, I've been like, Lord, what would you have us preach in this first series? And at first I'm like, oh, it needs to be just a one-off and kind of talk a little bit about story. And we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter one through chapter five and just gleaming a few things from that. I shared that with the elders on Monday night and a couple of elders said, there's a lot in there, Virgil. And we don't want this to be a speed race. We want to actually go to some of the depths of what we're talking about. So it's actually going to be a full series, multiple weeks, and we're going to be looking at that Joshua 1 through 5, and it's titled Moving Forward, How to Thrive During Times of Transition in Life. Because we all are going through transitions. As a church right now, we're going through a transition. The leaders are going through a transition as well, moving into this new season. Us all together, and you individually may be going through a transition of life. It might be a new birth. There might have been a passing of a loved one. There might be a new job. There might be a gain of friendship, loss of friendship. It could be just even your team did not make the playoffs. It can be a transition that caused some issues. Or a transition of a coach with the Cowboys. I heard that this last week too. So, you're studying up, guys. But we live. Life by definition is full of transitions. Life is not a static thing. It's an ongoing process. So many times we'll sit there saying, Lord, I just want to stay where I'm at. But But he's going to say, no, we're going to keep on moving forward. There's something for you that I have for you to bless you and care for you. So I've heard this verse mentioned multiple times. Some of you have preached on it from the elder standpoint, but it's Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God has done a new thing in our midst. And we're here. And this is one of those times where it's a leaves and new life. But we've come together. After today, it's new life. We are part of new life. We are part of who we are here. So we are together in this. And this new thing, I love how it speaks to this kind of wilderness and wandering conversation. Because some of us have been going through that. When you're waiting for a transition, you sometimes will go into this desert season of wondering. And you're like, God, what are you going to do? And God brings a stream, or he brings something to refresh in that moment. If you read on in that chapter, it says, even the wild beasts and the ostriches and owls, the things around, the crowd, if you will see and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's what we've seen during this time. I know New Life has had those experiences. I know, Cami and I, over this last 90 days, there's been a lot of life happen. And people, we just see God in it. It's not Virgil or Cami, but we're just being those willing vessels. I would even go so far to being willing sons and daughters led by the Father in heaven. And God showed up in powerful ways. And that's what it's about, is bringing glory to God in heaven. Bringing glory to his name. But most of us don't like change. Unless it's our idea. Let's just be honest. We hate change unless it's our idea. Why would you change that? I still remember when McDonald's french fries were the best before they changed the oil. Who knows what I'm talking about? There we go, all three of us. Thank you, you're my people. Everyone else, you'll figure it out someday. But there's change. I remember also, I used to love Mountain Dew as a kid. They changed the recipe a few years ago. We don't like change. And those are minor things, but we don't like change that really matters. But life is full of change. So how do we move forward and not just survive those things? So often when I hear people talk about transitions and change, I just got to survive it. Hopefully I get through before something bad happens. Just grit and bear it, right? Just get to the other side. But what if in the midst of transitions and change is actually where God wants to show up in a powerful way? If we look throughout the Bible, we pray, we say, God, you're the God of miracles. It's in transition moments he shows up. It's in the hard, it's in the dark that he shows up, because we need him. Many times, I think the reason why we don't see miracles the way they do in some places in our world and in the Bible is because we try to keep ourselves in places where we don't have to go say, God, I need you. I don't have another option. I need you. And that's not to say that we should have good plans and thoughts and processes, but what's our go-to in life? When we hit a hard moment, when we hit a transition, when we hit change, is it to the Lord? Is it to the Word? Is it to worship? Is it to prayer? Is it to individuals who are going to advise us to go to Jesus and process well? Or is it to WebMD? When we're having our children, Cami, I had to forbid her, well, a few times in my life, forbid her from going to WebMD, because every time I would come home, she'd be like, what's going on with my kid? Oh, this is the worst thing ever. I'm like, stop it. And praise God, I have a really good friend. His name is Michael. He is a nurse practitioner. I'm like, have you called Michael yet? No, I haven't. Call Michael and see what he says. She called him like, oh, it's fine. That's just normal for kids. Okay, we're good now. But going to the web first is not always the best idea. For some of us, we go to that. We go to the worst case scenario. We go to the news stations. Do we go to God first and let him direct those paths? But I want us to start off with this conversation about transitions and how to move forward with understanding this key thing. God is for you. God is for you and not against you. If you get nothing out of today but that, take that home. God is for you and not against you. He desires a deep relationship with you. So every transition I see that the Lord leads us through is to help us draw in proximity to his heart and to his presence. It's not to drive us away from him, but to bring us closer to him. He is for us and not against us. Jeremiah 29:11, a well-known verse. For I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you see? Right there, transition and change. A future and a hope. If you read in Romans, it says, if you see hope, it's Virgil Lee paraphrase here, if you see hope, you don't need hope. So hope by definition means we are desiring transition. We're desiring change. And God has that for us. And again, thoughts are God's thoughts, not our thoughts, his thoughts, not Facebook or social media, not our retirement accounts thoughts. No, God's thoughts for hope and future. So how do we find out what those are? Getting close to Jesus. He will show us what those things are. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. I love that song that we sang earlier about, I speak the name of Jesus. I was saying a room our size and those listening online, some of us really need some freedom. I'm not saying that you have huge chains wrapped around you, but what is that thing that's holding you back from walking out what God has for you? What is that thing that you feel like there might be a little bit of an ankle chain on? My kids love watching the old school Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny and Daffy, all of them. And they sometimes would have like the shackle with on the leg, and then you got the big iron ball where they have to drag that around. They're able to walk. They're able to move in a little bit of their area, but they can't run. What might that be in your life today? It might be a little 5-pound weight. It might be a 50-pound weight. It might be an anvil around your neck. But what is that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, because we need freedom. And by definition, again, freedom is change and transition. What is that thing? I'd encourage you to take some time this next week, write some things down. Lord, what could it be that's holding me back? What do I need freedom from? Today, at the end of service, we'll have a time of prayer. Come get prayer about that. Seek some wise counsel. Have someone walk that out with you to understand what it means to truly walk in freedom of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When we get close to Jesus, that collision conversation we had last week that Meredith talked about, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, what happens? Are being transformed or transitioned into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we want to go from glory to glory. Life is full of transitions, and our spiritual life is full of transitions. By living for Jesus and being a disciple, every day I want to wake up and go from glory to glory. I'm going to be close to him every day. That's my choice. I want to just take a moment and ask this question. Because we've got many different people, different backgrounds. I don't know you individually yet. I look forward to that. I look forward to hearing the story. And this might seem a little abrasive, but I think it's a good question. Do you know Jesus? We just talked about how he's for you and not against you. But these are promises of God for those who walk with him. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, these aren't promises for you yet. Notice I said yet. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, please come talk to one of the prayer people at the end of service. Talk to myself, one of the pastors, someone that you know that knows Jesus. We'd love to introduce you to the greatest thing that will ever happen in your life. His name is Jesus Christ. If you're online listening, reach out to the church office. We would love to have that conversation, because that's what it's about. It's not about this preacher. It's about that Lord and Savior. That's what this is all about. Because in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you Again, he's started something. Transitions, change. We'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not done yet. The Lord is still working on me. He's still working on you. He's still working on a new life, and that's a good thing. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, guys. God is good. Let's take a moment and pray before we jump into a few principles out of that Joshua 1, 1 through 9 section. Father, we come before your throne. Lord, there's so many different emotions and feelings that come into play when we talk about transitions and change. Some people love change because it's new and vibey and exciting. Others hate it because it is new and vibey and I don't know what's next. Lord, as we talk about what it means to thrive in uncharted territories and places that we maybe never walked before, Lord, help us to know that you are for us and not against us. Lord, we continue to pray that our hearts will be open to your leading in all things. Lord, we surrender all to you. And that place of complete surrender to you as we walk our lives is where you can come in and empower and equip us to be salt and light in your world, to bring glory to your name. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this moving forward message is based out of Joshua 1 through 5 section of scripture. And we could take multiple weeks and just speak through Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 10. There's tons of great content here, but we want to glean a few things out of this, a few principles that will help us thrive. Now, a few of these might be ones that you're like, oh, that's pretty good, that's basics. Basics are good to remember sometimes. It might be, I never heard of that before. That's great too, but I'd encourage you, just listen along and say, okay, how am I doing with this? So the first principle is value history. Joshua 1, 1 through 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and your all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness to in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So value history. There tends to always be a backstory to a transition point. Most of the time there is not a lightning strike moment. Gideon might have been your closest if you look at the Bible, but even then there were people praying, saying, Lord, bring us a deliverer. This is in Judges. We're not going to go there today. But the point is, in our thinking, Joshua is this guy that just gets picked out of the crowd of tons and tons of people. Oh, he's the next guy. Wow, cool. I got picked. No, Joshua has this backstory that is phenomenal about how he had walked with the Lord. So we need to value his backstory, but we also need to think about what's our backstory to get to this transition point and transition points in life. So a little bit about Joshua's backstory. This is not all-encompassing, but there are a few things that hit me as I was reviewing his story. He is the son of Nun. I used to love this joke as a youth pastor. Oh, Joshua, the son of Nun. He was a nobody. Ha ha ha. I'm a nobody. Cool. And I have an amazing spouse. Her name's Cammy. She's like, Virgil, you know better than that. You know names in the Bible meant something. There's a character trait or something tied to it. Well, okay, honey, I'll look at it. So Nun means be continued or continuation. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. So we put that together, Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, the son of to be continued. The continuation of Yahweh is my salvation. We put his whole name together. That's pretty cool. What did Joshua do? He continued the process that was laid out to Moses about taking the promised land. He was just the next guy with the same mission to establish what God was doing. He was an assistant and servant to Moses. He was one of the 12 spies in Numbers 13:8 that went in the first time to spy out the land. He was one of the two that came back and said, we can do this. God is on our side. The other 10 said, we are nothing but ants in his sight, in their sight. We are nothing. And sometimes we can beat up those other 10 guys that were the spies, but they were pretty common to what we do. They were looking through the eyes of what their skills, their abilities were. One of the things that Joshua kept on doing is he kept on looking through the eyes of what the Lord his God could do. And you see this throughout his whole story if you read in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He was a military general. He lived in Egypt and wandered in the desert. He desired to be close to the Lord and close to Moses on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. So the rest of Israel was down below. Moses takes Joshua. We're not sure how far up the mountain, but he was up on the mountain towards Moses. He was close. God was doing something in his life 40 years earlier before this moment. He was devoted to the presence of God. Exodus 22:11. He stayed in the tabernacle. He wanted to be close to God, to the presence of what the Lord was doing. And when we pick up in Joshua 1, he was around 80 years old. Sometimes we read Joshua and think, oh, he's probably a guy my age in his 40s or younger. He was 80 hearing these statements like, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. He's 80 and he's seen all this. Why? Because we always need to walk and step with the Lord for that moment. We cannot live off of someone else's yesterday. We can take value it. We can value history. Say, God was with Moses, he's with me. But we need to hear from God, I'm with you. There is no secondhand faith in the Bible. I'm going to say that again. There is no secondhand faith in the Bible, meaning I can't live off of Cammie's faith. Her faith can encourage me and bless me, but I can't live off of it. I can't live off my grandparents' faith. I can be encouraged by it. I can be blessed by it, but I can't live off of it. That's why it's so important that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is that's what you live off of. So that's some of his backstory. You have a backstory. You need to value what God's done in your life, the good and the bad, to get you to this point. Because he wants to, if we yield to him, show up strong in that transition. Here's a little bit of my backstory. I was saved when I was 5 on my way home from VBS. I grew up on a ranch. I learned how to work hard and keep my word. I was called into ministry when I was around 8 years old. It was 33 years ago. The week that we moved in, a few people sent a picture of the placard on the outside of my office, and it says, Virgil Lee, Senior Pastor, New Life Church. What caused me to tear up was the Lord said to my heart in that moment, it's 33 years in the making. 33 years, guys. It's not a lightning strike moment. 33 years. Part of that story is when I was younger, around 8, I also was in speech therapy for 5 years. I told my family, I want to be a pastor. My grandfather, when he was still alive, would tell you, there's no way you can be a pastor. Sunday school teachers, there's no way you can be a pastor. No one can understand them. But God was faithful. I'm here today. His gifts and callings are without repentance when we walk with him. We can abdicate them by choice. But if you are faithful, you'll show up. Kim and I have been married for 22 years, 2 amazing kids, Aiden and Megan. We've been in full-time ministry for over 21 years, and we believe the best is yet to come. That the years in the past have been there to encourage and bless us, to equip us for such a time as this. For a New Life Church and for the next very many, multiple years into the future. We look forward to it. We've served in 3 churches, and I'm still friends with each one of those lead pastors. Why? Because we waited for God to transition us well. Because the story of us wanting to move into and feeling led to be lead pastors or senior pastors happened 9 years ago. Now, I thought God would move me in 6 months. He had different plans. I should have asked the Lord, what's the time frame? It actually echoes back to June of 05 when the Lord started stirring my heart. Youth ministry might not be your end game. I have the journal entry where, Lord, I'm called to preach, and I don't know if it's youth ministry. So this moving to New Life Church in this role, as you guys have been waiting and saying, Lord, what do you have next? We have been waiting and saying, Lord, what would you have next as well? So we also need to honor the legacy of those who came before us. No man is an island. Have you ever heard that before? We're interconnected together as individuals, but also we're connected to those who come before us. So often when a new pastor comes in, whether a youth pastor or senior pastor, they'll come in and say, I am going to make a name for myself. I need to give dot, 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 dot. That's the reason why we're going to Joshua. Because Joshua's mission was the same as Moses' mission, wasn't it? Go into the promised land. Possess the promised land. Well, who actually got that first? Was it Moses? No, it was actually Abraham. It was just maybe defined a little differently, maybe refined a little bit more, but it still was the same mission. Go and possess the land. See, sometimes we forget that there is those who come before us and laid a firm foundation. New Life Church has been here for multiple years, and there's a strong foundation here. We are just the next season of that foundation being built upon for the glory of God. That's what it's about. John Maxwell has a great quote. We stand on the shoulders of the past generations. We stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. That's the happy side of looking at history. The sad side is George Santayana puts it this way. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We don't have to learn everything the hard way. We can actually learn from other people's mistakes. We'll have enough of our own. I'll have enough mistakes on my own. I don't need to figure out, oh, man, it's not good to drive 90 in a 45. Maybe this time it's going to work. It might work once or twice, but once you get caught, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can and need to innovate the wheel sometimes. And what do I mean by innovate? Young people, youth, you need to hear this. Especially in the church, we tend to want to reinvent what God has done already and what he says in his word. No. Innovation is we take the timeless truths. We take the message. We say, what is the methodology to bring the gospel to people? So years ago, some of the things that have changed the methodology, not the message, is this thing called social media. It wasn't around when I was a kid. It wasn't around when a lot of us were kids. We had telephones or postcards, but we didn't have social media. How can we leverage and innovate using social media for the gospel to spread around the world? Video calls. My kids this last week got to show their grandparents our house. Why? They were on a video call walking around. That's a blessing to be able to do conference calls in small groups around the country and around the world even with different people sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Cammie works for a nonprofit where they coach people around the world on how to do partnerships in ministry. Couldn't do that the same way 25 years ago. Same message, different methodology. Live streaming, even today, people can watch from home. They don't have to wait a week or tune in at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning on Channel 4. These are good things. And it took people saying, we're not going to change the message of Jesus. We're going to look at how to innovate and engage our world with Jesus. What are some tools and platforms we have to do that? So, as Christians, our broad mission is still the same one that Jesus gave the disciples. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What is our core foundational principle at New Life Church? Go and make disciples. Why? It's not my mission. It wasn't the founding pastor's mission. It's Jesus' mission for the body of Christ is to go and make disciples. It's a unifying force in the body of Christ around the world. Now the question is, how do we do that in our perspective and in our world? That's where it becomes a little unique. And that's where we need to lean into what God's doing. But it's to go and make disciples. So we're on that co-mission. in our spheres of influence by making Christ famous in our world, by being salt and light. That's what we're called to do. It's not a new thing. It's a very basic thing, but it's a profound thing. When you partner with what Jesus is doing in our world, you'll see him show up in miraculous ways. The last principle for today is you are not alone. Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. When we are going through transitions of life, it can feel like we are all alone and God isn't there because things are hard or we can't see how it's going to work out. But he is there with you and he has a plan and a purpose. We need to fight to keep our focus on Jesus and give him the pain and the heart of the moment. And he will in turn turn it into a testimony of his goodness and faithfulness in his time. It's key to understand, it's in his time. In Hebrews 13:5-6, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you again. So it's a New Testament principle as well. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is our helper, church. I will not fear. And so often the fear of man is not just the people around us. It's the fear of God. I can't do it. I look at myself in the mirror and say, Lord, can I do this? And in the natural, no. But with him, it goes back to that supernatural conversation. I bring the natural, say, God, I surrender my natural to you. And he brings the super to it. What can man do to me? Nothing if God is for you. Psalm 139. I encourage you this next week to read all of Psalm 139, at least once. But let's look at two verses. Where can I go from your spirit? God's with you. Where can I go from his spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make a bed in hell, behold, you are there. We cannot run from the presence of God. He is there. We might not recognize it, but he is there. So you know when he's talking about heaven and hell, he's talking figuratively. In your high highs, in your low lows, he is there. And everything in between. Where can I go? So when we feel alone, we must choose to live by faith. By definition, faith is something we cannot see or touch. Faith in what? Well, I say no. Faith in what the Word of God says. Faith in what the Word of God says about it. Because we live by faith and not by sight. Not by our feelings, not by our perspectives, not by others. We live by faith in Jesus. When we're going through hard things, we know that God sees and is working all things out for his good in our lives, not what our flesh or world would say is good. This is a key point. We tend to want to say good means this, but is it God? So many years ago, there was a man named Jim Elliot. You know about Jim Elliot? He was a missionary that went to South America. And profound communicator and great leader. And him and this group of men go and fly into the Amazon. And they all get killed by this tribe. Years later, there's redemption. The tribe comes to know Jesus. But they're all killed. Would the flesh and the world say that was good? Now, I'm not saying we're all called to go be martyrs. But he was faithful to his calling in Jesus. And that is good. That's what God has. So when we talk about God works all things for good for those who love him and called by his purposes, 2 Corinthians 5:7, sorry, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. We love God and are called according to his purposes, not our purposes. And that's one of the issues that the American church has messed up and it's turned into self-help. My way, my hopes, my dreams. The gospel is Christ's hopes, Christ's dreams, Christ's purposes in my life. If we want to see revival, if we want to see change in our families, in our homes, in our businesses, in our church, to know Christ in a greater way, it's going to take us being number one, being Jesus number one. So we are going to pause there. I know there's some more notes there, but I want us to take the time to process these things well, these principles. So next week we're going to pick up with that be of good courage and be strong in the Lord conversation that's in the rest of Joshua. I encourage you this next week to read Joshua 1. But I want us to actually dig into what the Lord might be speaking to us during this season about be strong and courageous in the Lord. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your faithfulness in the hard, when it's not easy. We thank you for the faithfulness when it is simple. We thank you for just being there with us, that there is nothing that can take us from your presence. Lord, even when we can't see you, you're right there. And Lord, I pray this for someone in this room today, that you might feel like, I cannot see the Lord anywhere around me. But I would say, the Lord speaks right now. Have you turned and looked behind you? I'm there. Your perspective is wrong. I'm here, son or daughter. No, I'm your good shepherd. And I'm walking with you through this transition moment. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Lord, I pray that for this body of believers. I pray that for all of us, that we will know you in a deeper way. Lord, that we will value the history of those who came before us. We will value our history. Say, Lord, how are you using that for your glory? God, I just thank you for bringing us to this point, that none of this surprises you, that you, I would say you are smiling down upon us today. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.